So our feast day today that we're celebrating, actually it's the Solemnity of the Ascension, is kind of situated in the middle of our season of Advent, our season of Easter. And the Easter season technically encompasses all of Lent and all of Easter. It begins on Ash Wednesday, so Lent is part of the Easter season. It begins on Ash Wednesday and it ends next Sunday on Pentecost. So those are Ash Wednesday and Pentecost are the bookends. The first part of the Easter season is Lent, and that's, you know, the penitential part, and that's, you know, fasting and purple, priest wears purple and all that kind of stuff. And then we get to Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday throughout the rest of Holy Week, it's its own kind of mini season. Those few days of Holy Week, it's its own thing leading up to Easter. And then once we have Easter, that's the big celebration. That's the highest feast day of the entire year is Easter. The second highest feast day of the entire year is Christmas. The third highest feast day of the entire year is Pentecost. That's coming up this coming Sunday. So the first half of the Easter, of once we're celebrating Easter, all the readings, if you go, the first week of Easter, second week of Easter, so on and so on, they're all pointing back to the resurrection. There's stories about the resurrection, stories about when Mary Magdalene encounters Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, or when the apostles are on the road to Emmaus and they just encounter Jesus after he had risen from the dead. So it's all these stories of resurrection and all kind of looking back at the resurrection. But then there's a shift that happens throughout the Easter season. Instead of looking toward back, now we're looking towards like the early days of the apostles. We're looking at reading a lot from the Acts of the Apostles and what was happening in the earliest days of the church. But the last half, the last 2 weeks of the Easter season, we don't look back at resurrection anymore. We look forward to Pentecost. That's what we're dealing with right now. And if you came to Daily Mass this last week, or if you come to Daily Mass this coming week, all the Daily Mass readings are all about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit this, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. So the feast day that we celebrate today, the Ascension, we celebrate that 40 days after the resurrection. In our diocese and a few others, we transfer it to Sunday, so technically it's not 40 days that we're celebrating it, but last Thursday would have been the official feast of the Assumption, the Ascension, but again, it's transferred to this Sunday. Now, between the Ascension and Pentecost, Ascension is 40 days after Easter, and Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. Those 9 days in between them, that was known as the Novena of the Holy Spirit. It's the days of preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, I mean, good Catholics, we love our novenas, and we have a novena to every saint and every, you know, everything you can conceive of. And we love novenas, and they're awesome. But why nine? Why 9 days? Why 9 days of prayer? Where does that come from? It comes from the season that we are in right now. This is the oldest, the most ancient of novenas, is a novena to the Holy Spirit, starting technically, I guess, on Friday, and going through Pentecost, these days where we're preparing, tilling the soil for the coming, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And even in our reading today, our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, so Jesus is meeting with them. He enjoined them not to depart Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. His ascension and his final greeting before he ascended to heaven to the right hand of the Father was telling them to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is what we are supposed to be doing in these next few days leading up to next Sunday. Now, in terms of the ascension itself isn't one of the major feast days. It is a solemnity. Don't get me wrong. It's a high solemnity, but it's not to the same rank as Christmas or Easter or even Pentecost. What the Ascension does, though, it's a marking post. It's an indicator to Pentecost. It's almost like You ever been out in western Kansas and somebody says, gives you directions, and they're like, drive down the road for 15 miles, and when you see a tree, turn left. This is the tree, you know what I mean? This is the indicator, the marker that Pentecost is coming. But I would ask this question, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but my little 8-year-old self would ask all kinds of questions. Why did Jesus have to go? You ever wondered about that? Why did Jesus have to ascend to heaven? Why couldn't he have just stayed here instead of having a pope? Why couldn't Jesus have just been in Rome and just told us what to do from Rome? Well, Jesus does answer that question in Scripture, and it has to do with Pentecost. He told his disciples, he told the apostles when he was meeting with them, I am going to the right hand of my Father, and believe me, it is better for you that I go to his hand. Because if I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. The reason Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father was so that he could send the Holy Spirit. Now, again, if you're like me and you think, well, if I had two options, option A, option B, option A is Jesus stays here and I get to see Jesus and talk with him in the flesh, and option B is the Holy Spirit, option A looks pretty tempting. So why is the Holy Spirit, why is that a benefit to us? Why should we be preparing for the Holy Spirit? Why is that better for us? And for what it's worth, before I guess answer that question, one thing, little side note. So what I'm saying here in terms of Jesus ascending to the right hand of the Father, and the Father and Jesus send the Holy Spirit down together, for us in 2024, I don't think any of you guys are going to, you know, lose any sleep over that. But you go back 1,600 years, and if I was to say that in the wrong church, particularly in the East, I would have been drug out of the church and stoned, because that Jesus sending the Holy Spirit from the right hand of the Father, that's what's known as the filioque. Philios, like brotherly love, or the son engendering of the son. The filioque is the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. And that's actually that question. Does the Holy Spirit come from just the Father alone, or does the Holy Spirit come from the Father and the Son? That question itself is what split the church. When the Greek Orthodox Church split off and said, we're not following Rome anymore, it was over that question. Does the Holy Spirit come from just the Father alone, or from the Father and the Son? And so when we say our creed, does that vocabulary sound familiar? With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He is sent forth from the Father and Son. That's a huge point of theology, that we believe Christ ascends so that he can send us the Holy Spirit. But this answer of if you could choose Jesus or if you could choose the Holy Spirit, in some ways, that is a false dichotomy. Because Jesus told us, behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. He is here. He might not be in the flesh speaking to you as you speak to your neighbor, but make no mistake, Christ is present with the church. He is with us currently. Three primary ways that Christ is present, and through the sacraments. And the Eucharist is the obvious one. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ is on this altar. He remains with us. He didn't just ascend to the right hand of the Father and just leave us out, you know, on our own. He is with us in the Eucharist. He is with us in the priesthood, in the sacrament of the priesthood. A man, sinful as he might be, is conformed to Christ the priest. And so when you hear the words, this is my body, or I absolve you of your sins, you hear Christ speak to you. He just happens to use Father Curtis's voice, or Pope Francis's voice, or Father Bob, or Dan, or Steve, or whoever. But Christ is present, not only in the Eucharist, but also in the priesthood. And then also, Christ is present in his body, the church. Every single member, every single person who's been baptized into Christ, Christ is present in them. the community, the body together. So when he ascends to the right hand of the Father, Christ is still here. And we get the bonus of the Holy Spirit. So these next few days, as we are doing our preparation, I would encourage you to till the soil of your soul. If you've never done the novena to the Holy Spirit, look it up. I guess we're a couple days short. We should have started a couple days ago, but that's okay. It's better late than never. Just Google novena to the Holy Spirit. It's easy to find. There's actually several different versions out there, but there's several really, really good ones. It's just a way of preparing and asking to be open to the Holy Spirit, to the coming of the Holy Spirit. So as we kind of make our shift, our final push, these are the last few days of our Easter season, we turn now, look ahead to Pentecost, to the outpouring of that Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.